So I'm with Elvin Rempel. You're facing off against two opponents. And surprisingly, like I would have assumed that Larry Banks would have won because he has been the director for such a long time. But he dropped out, leaving an open seat. And I think this is the first open seat that the area has seen for quite some time. So it's a battle for that void that must be filled. Tell me about yourself, Elvin. Before being a regional director or applying to be a regional director, who are you before that?
Well, I'm a homesteader living right on the U.S. border after highway trucking for 15 years. And I've had a 50-year experience of all kinds of occupations. I don't like being bored, and so I do different things about every 3 or 4 years. And this is the joy of our life. We've retired. And it becomes our exercise program to keep us young, keep us active. We don't have to go running up and down the street to get our exercise.
Right on. You know, your experience being a trucker, right, and living along the border, you must know quite a bit about U.S.-Canada relations.
Yes, I do. I've been in the U.S. probably more than in Canada in the last 15 years, and I do talk to people across the line. I'm fully aware of what's going on there in the political scene, and it has me a little concerned. You know, there's a potential of civil war breaking out, maybe in the November elections. The NAFTA free trade has had concessions made with regards to the dairy, so I'm concerned about our dairy people in that regard. So.
Mm-hmm. Also, wine as well. They're allowing, I believe, I think it's somewhere around slightly less than 5% increase on the shelves being American products.
Yes. These things all have concern for our valley because we're into all that. So it is a great concern, and we'll have to see how it works out for us.
Area C, you know, there's a lot of farming going on, so I imagine they would want to export their goods. With the U.S. border being so close, do you consider the United States as like a primary source for exporting local goods in the Creston Valley?
Oh, yes, it is. We have prime transportation routes down there, plus we have the population. I mean, there's more population in a few states down south than there is in all of Canada. And so the ease of transportation makes those our trading partners rather than Toronto.
Right on. If our trading partner to the south becomes a little bit more, shall we say, abrasive, how would you handle that?
Well, I think we just have to keep doing what we're doing. You know, we do have the logging industry. We do have the crops. They need our product. And so I think we can stand firm and just, you know, we're supplying a better product, you know, compared to the milk that's going to be coming up. You know, my joke is, how do we know when a person from Creston is buying milk in Port Hill? Well, that's because their children end up needing training bras by the time they're 10 years old, and that includes their daughters. You
know. Yeah, I imagine, yeah, there's more hormones in their bovine products. Yeah, beef too. Like, we can't even get the grade of beef that they have down there.
So, that's correct.
You know, conflict aside, I mean, a lot of our listeners here actually are in Bonner's Ferry and are Americans. What are some of the benefits maybe that this newest trade agreement has had?
I can't really say to that. I know there's another disadvantage talking to a lady in Port Hill. Her husband was involved in bringing horses up to Canada for slaughter. These are wild horses that are not like we imagine them. She talked about them being 4 to 5 feet tall rather than 8. They can carry 50 horses in one trailer versus 25 regular horses. They're going to slaughter in Fort McLeod, but apparently, since our new prime minister came in, they tightened down on veterinary inspections, and so they can no longer bring them into Canada. So that's hurt us as well again.
That's unfortunate. I was at the forum where you were at. Of course, most of it was in the dark, and it seemed like quite a few people were in the dark, not just physically, but mentally, as to you know, maybe what some of your plans would be moving forward if you were elected as director. One gentleman said that he had never seen any of you before, and you being a homesteader, I imagine maybe you're not really engaged in the community as much visually, but you must be. What sort of community engagement do you bring forward?
Well, we have been very busy building a homestead out of second growth forest, so that's occupied the greater amount of our time. We have a lot of good friends in Area C that are, you know, similar to ourselves, that have small farms or small homesteads, and so we interact with those. We do attend the rec center on a very regular basis, and that brings up a problem that we have. I and my wife don't like the chlorine in the pools.
Yeah, you brought this up, yeah.
quite often we ask our friends, well, how come I don't see you at the Toonie Swim on Fridays? And they say, well, we just cannot handle the chlorine, and it gives them health problems. And so one of the things that I want to do is see if we can persuade the rec center to bring in ozone treatment rather than chlorine, and take care of that problem.
It's definitely would be a hindrance for people. I have pretty sensitive skin, so if I'm in a pool that has, I mean, chlorine doesn't bother me, but if the balance is off, then I get hives, and nobody likes hives.
No, I can well imagine.
Nobody wakes
that.
Up in the middle of the night with hives and goes, "Oh, well, glorious! I get these fun little itches to have."
Right.
In terms of your homesteading, unfortunately, there are those that think that you're not really doing it within code. What do you have to say about, because I don't know, I'm just here in the last 8 weeks. I don't know what these regulations are, but the fact that people are confronting me about you saying, right, Alvin Rempel, he's building against code regulations in his homestead, it makes me a little confused.
Okay, I understand that. And when we first got there, it's a different mentality. We're totally off-grid, and so we have different requirements than the imported Albertan that's building a 2,000 square foot mansion. We are a living homestead. It was designed to, and since we're off-grid, it was designed to accommodate all facets of our life, and we may be looking at bringing in another young couple or two down the road so that we don't have to move off, that they could look after it. And so building codes did conflict, but as far as we're concerned, in 2014, on the advice of our building inspector, he advised that we should file under Chapter 57 of the community's charter. And what that does, it allows notice to be placed on the title by the RDCK, and that effectively takes us out of contravention. It means we haven't really changed anything, but they have fulfilled their duty to any interested party that it's a unconventional building. Mm-hmm. And thereby that eliminates the problems. I mean, any building that has been built, 20 years ago and older, is in contravention of bylaws. You know, that's just the way it is, because bylaws or building codes keep changing from year to year. But it seems the staff don't know what the directors are doing, and a year after we filed this, they have started coming after us again. And so we're in the process of fighting that in the courts, because to me it's a matter of double jeopardy. And also, we have gone through the steps of having the building engineered, and we're in the process of getting a permit. We're waiting for our farm status, and then we can register it as a farm building. We call it an MPAC, a multi-purpose activity center. And we do, all of our occupying in there, other than it being a dwelling, which is a place where you sleep. And so it's a joy to be in. It's a huge man cave as far as I'm concerned. I don't have to take my shoes off. And, we dry our garlic in there. We raise chickens in there to a certain extent when they're young, because we haven't got a heated area otherwise. All sorts of activities. It's our tool room. It's everything you do on a farm without having six different buildings.
Okay. Would you support other people kind of living this lifestyle? I mean, I remember you mentioned Vladimir Putin last time and his directive of giving, I believe it was 2 acres of land for those who wish to tend it.
That's correct.
How would you see this working in the Creston Valley?
Well, my wife belongs or has a little website, and she has over 1,000 followers on it, and it has to do with the Ringing Cedars and the homesteading type of lifestyle. There are thousands of people that would jump at the chance to move here and to carve out their own little
slice of heaven.
Slice of heaven, yes. I can't think of the right term right now, but it basically, yes, you're saying a slice of heaven. It's hard work, but it's a lifestyle that fosters unity, love for the earth. Everybody tries to be living organically. And so it's a beautiful lifestyle. I would like to see a huge spot cleared up in the mountains, maybe 5 miles out of town, where a whole area could be set aside and 50 or 100 people could create a community living their own lifestyle, building their little kindomains is the word that the Ring Cedars book utilizes. And it's a family homestead where you can raise your children, and it's fantastic.
What I'm gathering from this, though, is you have people in Area C who are following, let's call it the norm, and they're looking at you as a candidate who's not quite following the norm, maybe living a more, dare I call it, a libertarian lifestyle, and saying, I would like to invite more people like me to live off the grid, carve out our slice of heaven. But wouldn't that cause maybe a bit of a divide between those who have already followed the regular rules and regulations and inviting those who've decided to live a different lifestyle? I mean, how do you garner community with two very different people?
Well, that is a problem, and this is why I'm recommending that this community would be away from the regular communities. I guess the people that were born here and raised here look at the people that are coming in now as being the outsiders. You know, they're bringing their Calgary house with them, and then they bring their problems and they bring their expectations with them as well. And we can coexist. Case in point is the, I'll call it, debacle that is going on with the fire hall at this point in time. And I can get into that if you'd like to.
By all means, in terms of the fire hall, what is your take on this whole thing?
The problem is that apparently we have spent $680,000 getting to that stage. The referendum in 2014 only allowed for $450,000, and we still don't have a building. Out of that $680,000, there's only about $250,000 plus change that is accounted for. And so this is the main reason why I've entered into the fray. I'm an outsider, so I have no allegiances, loyalties to anybody or anything. You know, talking to several people that have been trying to get answers for the last year, and they haven't been forthcoming, I said, okay, I have to get involved in that. I mean, I do have certain backgrounds in legalities and stuff like that that will serve me in good stead in this. So we have to pursue this problem. Various people say, oh, just let it lie. You know, there's been mistakes made, but let's just move on and keep building. Well, we can't do that, in my opinion, because we have to account for where the money went. I mean,
so you want to see where the money went. I mean, could you maybe track it and find it and say, pay us back and let us move forward?
Well, we're trying to do that, but the answers have not been forthcoming. And so I'm here to find openness and accountability. That's what I want, and that's what's expected from any civic official. You know, on top of that, the work that was done totally without tender. The director saw himself, I presume, as a general contractor and started hiring hourly labor and paying hourly contract fees for equipment, just paying for the aggregate that was required, without any thought of tendering, which is, in my opinion, a specific requirement when you're spending public money. None of it was done. And so we need answers. And so I'm prepared to go to the Inspector of Municipalities, which oversees the regional districts, or go to the Attorney General if required to get these answers. And that may already be being done by people whose pay grade is a little higher than what I'm looking for. So we'll find out how it works out, and we'll find out after the 20th as to how much I can do.
All right. Well, this is your time. If you have any final statements you would like to share with people in rural Area C, by all means.
Well, one of the big things they brought out was that they want more input. They want to know what's going on. And so I'm already in the process of building a website so that I can provide them with information that's coming out of the monthly meetings from the RDCK. I also want to put a forum in there that they can ask me questions. We can get an ongoing conversation. And if I can persuade my son to get involved, who's an IT expert, I want to create a website where we could hold mini referendums, that when there's a question comes up, we get a feeling, what do the people really want? And so anybody that's computer savvy can get into that. But in the meantime, we'll still hold those quarterly meetings that they're looking at.
Right on. Well, thank you very much for dropping by the office. We got a nice view into the United States. I didn't realize, I mean, I know how close the U.S. is, but a friend of mine was pointing out most of what we see out this window is actually the United States.
Yes, you're very right.
But,
and I'll invite you to come down to our place on the border and see our MPAC, I called it 16-sided trapezium dome is what we're living in.
I would not be living elated in, but building to see in. This. I've been to Burning Man, and there, it's all about pack in, pack out, sustainability,
right,
and engineering,
right,
which is stuff that I find fascinating.
This
so I would absolutely love to come and
visit. This is the only building that I know of that is built maybe in the entire world in this fashion, and I call it my green igloo. So
your green igloo. All right. Well, I'll definitely check it out. Thanks again for coming down, and good luck on this election.
Thanks very much.